It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
You know, just over a year ago when I was offered the opportunity to come back to BFM and then do the breakfast show, the first civilian person outside of my girlfriend and I that I told was this next gentleman, the mayor of our city, Phil Goff. Morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, Mikey.
Now, we've talked about berms, we've talked about beaches, we've talked about America's Cup, we've talked about drains, we've talked about tourists, we've talked about water quality, we've talked about carriage trees, we've talked about flooding, we've talked about property, we've talked about storms, we've even talked about heart attacks. But Philip...
That's a lot of talk.
Philip, in the last year and a bit, you didn't mention a stadium once.
Up to
Mayor of Auckland, up to.
I always know when I'm in trouble when people call me Philip. That's what my mother used to call me when I've been a bad boy. Stadiums. Did mention it. It was.
You didn't mention it once. I've gone over all my notes.
Yeah. You mentioned it during the campaign and mentioned it in lots of other places. Yeah, look, where are we at with the stadium? I think you've got to have the aspiration to have a world-class stadium for Auckland. The big problem with meeting that aspiration is the cost of it. Eden Park, to upgrade it to be a world-class stadium would cost about $800 million.
You know, even now, even just when you said Eden Park, I went, oh, you mean like say Motet or something? It's like, Eden Park.
Yeah, and let me finish the sentence then. The problem with Eden Park is that because it's right in the middle of a residential area, it's constrained to only having 25 night events a year. And actually, if you want to have a world-class stadium and you're going to spend a lot of money on it...
We like to party, Phil.
You actually got to make it pay for itself or as close as you can get to that. And that means, you know, having it not just for rugby, it'd be for all the football codes, rugby, league, football. But you'd also have every concert you could get at it. And it would be rectangular as a stadium because that's what...
Rectangular?
Yeah, rather than oval. You know, what we tried to do in the old days is make a stadium that you could use for cricket and for rugby, and you end up detracting from both events. Not big enough for cricket,
not a rhombus, not an oval, not a circle, not a square.
A rectangle. Remember that?
Rectangular.
That takes you back to geometry days. So look, what I wanted to do was look around and see what are the alternative sites for a stadium, and where are you going to build a stadium? Well, if you look at what most modern cities do, they build them close to the centre of the city. Why? Because that's where all the transport hubs are. You know, where your ferry, where your light rail, your heavy rail, your motorways north. South and west go to, it's where your accommodation is and it's where your hospitality industry is. Because when you go to a match or to a concert, that's the focus of what you're doing, but it's pre-match activities, post-match activities that really count and make for a good fan experience.
But I don't think anyone disagrees with that, Phil, but I think the thing that seems to be coming to the top of the bottle here seems to be the fact that it was all done on the sly, man. Is that because there'd just be so much back and forth that you'd be dead by the time it even got built?
No. I mean, there's been lots of, go back and, you know, look, I know I'm not meant to mention competitors, but go back and have a look at the Herald. They've run big feature articles on it over the last...
They're no competitor.
No, they're not really a direct competitor to you. It's not done on the sly. The councillors wanted to know why I didn't send them an electronic copy, and I said because actually there's commercially sensitive material in that, and every time I send you a copy...
There's a leak. You've got a mole.
Some very helpful person or persons managed to circulate it as widely as possible, and I'm under economic commercial constraints from people we're negotiating with to keep their information confidential.
Well, I mean, you're saying that there is some sort of the reason you keep it confidential is because it could affect other people's current standing business. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Isn't that a great reason to actually? Like full disclosure, sort of full transparency?
Well, it is to councillors. Any councillor can come up and read the full report, and quite a number of them have done so. It's just that I don't want an electronic version floating around there, which people decide, oh, very helpfully, I know this is commercial and sensitive, but I'm going to go out and I'll earn some brownie points by leaking it to somebody. Well, sure. You know, that's not great behaviour, but unfortunately it's a fact of life. But look, you know, let me just finish the last part of that story. So, you know, my gut feeling has always been city centre is where a new stadium should be. The problem with that is that it adds the cost because we don't necessarily own the land. Some of the cases we do, but in some of the cases I wouldn't want to use it because it's being used for other good purposes. But that would add up to, you know, the estimate we got on it was $1.1 to $1.5 billion. Well, I'm just
do
about
borrow,
to...
Do you borrow that sort of money or do you get investors to put into it or do you
no,
sort of just...
No, well, we can't borrow it and I can't make it a priority ahead of transport,
do you want
congestion,
to, would you like
housing
to, do you want me to lend
and
it
environment.
To you? Phil, do you want me to lend it to you?
Yeah,
yeah,
look, Mikey, can you use some of your considerable personal and radio station resources and put it up for me? Hey, look, the private sector doing it is an option. There's a consortia around. I think mostly a private group wanting to do it because stadiums generally don't make money, but with the high capital cost, you know, they would probably want some sort of public input from, you know, government or from the council. And when we've had big events like the Rugby World Cup and a Commonwealth Games, the central government comes in and meets some of those costs. But, you know, silly Auckland, back in 2008, the central government came in, said, we'll give you hundreds of millions of dollars to build a new stadium in the city centre.
Who said that?
It was the government of the day, led by Helen Clark. And the Auckland Regional Council said, no, thank you. And so we put the money into putting, you know, rebuilding Eden Park in a site that's still not fit for purpose for a stadium that you want to work really hard in order to return the cost of the investment you make in it.
I know that I don't come across as a sporting punter. I don't think I've ever been inside Eden Park.
You've never been inside Eden Park. Shame on you. You've never watched a rugby test or
I've watched on my TV and stuff, but I've never actually been.
Can I
mean, isn't this just pandering to the sort of upper echelon of sports people in the country? Because the last thing we need is to fluff up the All Blacks anymore.
No, but when you go along and watch an international test match or you go to the Rugby World Cup, you see 50, 60,000 people there really celebrating.
Just saying, I wish we could be in a rectangular shape.
Yeah, our sports prowess. No, look, you know, if you do go to concerts, Mikey, don't you?
I know you do go to concerts.
Well, you know, what we'd really like to do
like
is
this
have
week.
We'd really like to have an all-weather concert venue that you could have concerts all year long. You know, not only in the days that you estimate you've got a better than average chance of it not raining it out, and you know. You go to any decent-sized city in the world, like Auckland, and you find a great stadium. Even in Dunedin, they can build a new stadium with a roof over the top of it, where you can have concerts, where you can have decent sports
they
games.
They still don't flood it like they did the Coliseum back in the million years ago. Yeah?
No. We try not to. You know, I know that sometimes rugby is regarded as a blood sport, Coliseum was a different level again.
Here's my thing, Phil, is that if you build it where you, that is a dead area, that old the old railway station. It was a beautiful railway station, just no trains. So if you build it there, it's only a hop, skip, and a three or four dumpings of rubbish straight into the harbour. You know what I mean? I worry about any sort of construction or building sort of developments right on the water like that. Our harbour does not need any more filth or silt in it. You know,
I wouldn't put the stadium right on the harbour as a personal preference. My personal preference is to have it in the city centre, but
where the old railway station was, though.
That's just one of the options.
That's one rainstorm away from the harbour. That's only one. Yeah. That's like literally over the road, though.
But no. It's away from the harbour. It's in an area that you've correctly described as a dead area. It's Ngāti Whātua land.
Wasteland.
That's anybody could look at the potential sites around Auckland and say that's one of the potential sites and might be quite a good one.
Would you, if you did something like that, would you lease the land or would you buy the land outright? Well, I don't think that they wouldn't sell it to you outright.
No. Nadi Fata would never alienate the land that they've gained back.
They're very canny with the business.
Yeah. If that was an option that was looked at, you'd have to come to a financial arrangement for leasing. I mean, the thing about a stadium, if you build a stadium in the city centre, what it does is lift the value of all of the land around it. So whoever's providing the land for the stadium's got a strong interest, because they will get a big commercial return, maybe not directly from the stadium, but from the uplift of the value of the land around it. So that is one of the options that people have speculated on.
All right, Phil, we're probably going to have to go, but there's a lot more to talk about this stadium thing that suddenly is at the top of the pile.
Yeah. Well, happy to talk again, and I'm taking my 10-year budget to council for approval tomorrow, so that will be an exciting day.
Thanks for sending that to me. I've already given it a tick.
Good on you, mate.
So you can take that. Yeah, that's fine. You can just to be clear,
you can take that to council now. Say, Mikey Havoc has said this.
Say
is good.
The king of budgeting and financial nous, Mikey Havoc has given that the green light.
Oh,
hey, just before you go though, Phil, what about your city today? Look how beautiful it looks.
Oh, isn't it fantastic? And this morning when I went out to the car, it wasn't iced over like it was yesterday morning.
Supposedly it was the coldest night in 64 years or something last night.
The night before last was colder because it
wasn't the coldest night.
I put on the windscreen wipers and they just went scrape, scrape, scrape across the ice. I threw a bucket of water over the windscreen, forgot that I still had the windscreen wipers on hold, and of course they immediately splashed the water straight back at me. So it was a great start.
This is what happens when you live in a tropical city like this. You're not used to these unusual weather events.
It does look fantastic out there. The sun is shining on the Waitemata Harbour. I see Rangitoto outlined, thinking, what a fantastic city we live in.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Mikey.
Goodbye, Philip.
Take care, mate.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.